From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's come to the Lord now in prayer. Let's seek His face. Heavenly Father, we come into Thy holy presence today, thankful, O God, that we can come to Thee. Praise Thee, Lord, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We come, Lord, to Thee because of Thy finished work and the atoning sacrifice of Christ there on the cross. Come, Lord, to thank Thee today for the gospel. We praise Thee, Lord, that Christ Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we pray, Lord, that Thy word as it goes forth today will come with power. We pray, Lord, for the endowment of God, the Holy Spirit. And pray, Lord, Thy servant, the Reverend Park, as he would open the scriptures of truth to us today. We ask, O God, that our hearts might be opened to receive and to see the word of God today and see Christ in all of His glory and all of His beauty. We commit our time to Thee now. We ask, O God, You be pleased to come. Be one of our number this day, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're reading from Luke's Gospel, the chapter 23, and commencing to read at the verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add a blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn, I Must Needs Go Home by the Way of the Cross.
I'm delighted to be here and to have the opportunity to share with you the Word of God. We're taking for our text the words of the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And I want to speak on the greatest story that has ever been told, the greatest history that has ever been written, the greatest event that has ever happened, the greatest love that has ever been shown, the greatest suffering that has ever been experienced. What am I referring to? I'm referring to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to preach Christ and Him crucified. I have often felt that if the message of the cross fails to make an impression upon the hearts of sinners and move them to salvation, well, then nothing will. Nothing melts the heart more than a sight of the suffering Savior. Nothing touches the soul of man more deeply than an understanding of the Holy One bearing away our sin. Nothing affects the emotions of the human spirit more than being confronted by the eternal love of God as it is manifested at Calvary. Nothing softens the hardness of sinners more than setting before them the scene as we have it here on Mount Calvary. So God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior has been tried and sentenced. Pilate has handed him over to the bloodthirsty mob of Jews that lead him away. The soldiers have beaten him and mocked him. They lead him along the streets of Jerusalem, through the walls of the city towards Golgotha. And now they arrive at the designated spot. Amidst the jeering, the taunting, and the shouting of the crowd, the Savior is nailed to the cross and lifted up to die. As we behold God's Lamb dying upon the cross of Calvary, we are going to be affected in some way. You cannot gaze upon the cross without giving some kind of response in your heart. And I trust that it will be to receive Him and to accept Him if you know Him not as your Savior. In dealing with this subject, I want to handle it very simply. I want to think about the plan of the cross. And then I want to think about the pain of the cross. And then we want to consider the people at the cross. But first of all, the plan of the cross. And this is very important to consider. I see cruel men take the dear Son of God and they spike Him to the cross and they lift Him up to die. The hopes of the disciples have been dashed, for they thought it should be Him who would deliver Israel, but not in this way. They have fled. All seems to be lost. It appears that Christ is helpless. There He is, nailed hand and foot. There was no struggle. There was no resistance. There was no argument on His part. He makes no effort to come down from the cross. And those that pass by, they cry out, "Come down from the cross. If you are who you say you are, prove it and come off the cross." Now He could have, in a sense, for Christ had all power. But this was the plan of God. And what we see happening there upon Golgotha's brow was no accident. Things did not go badly wrong. This was God's plan. When we stand and gaze at the cruel cross, and we observe the God-man in all His shame and suffering, remember this was planned. Pilate had no power of his own. He thought he had. But he couldn't even lift a finger against the Son of God without divine permission. The cross was ordained from all eternity. Jesus Christ is that Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter, preaching in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, he reminded his audience of this very reality. Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The people may have taken Him, they may have physically put Him upon the cross, but this was according to the divine plan. It was according to the determinant counsel and foreknowledge or foreordination of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul spoke of God's own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so we must travel back beyond the measures of time past into the great expanse of eternity. And there God in Trinity and God in unity, in the great counsel of the Almighty, so purposed and planned the redemption of men. Hundreds of years before the cross, His death was foretold. Perhaps you will not get a grander prophecy than that of Isaiah chapter 53. You want to read those words line by line and see how vividly the prophet, 700 years before the coming of Christ, is able to speak in such clear terms of the cross of Christ. Our Savior, when he came into this world, he spoke about his ministry. He knew exactly what lay before him. He knew that day when he would be taken by cruel hands and nailed to the cross. And so he came into the world willingly with his eyes opened. This was God's way. This was God's plan. But then I want you to think about the pain of the cross. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear. But we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. I want you to think about the physical sufferings of Christ. Those that we can try to imagine and appreciate. We have all suffered physically. I'm thinking especially of the crucifixion itself. Crucifixion was one of the worst, inhumane, cruel deaths that could be imagined. Worse than our poor minds could take in. Among the Romans, it was a death penalty inflicted only upon slaves or upon free men who had committed the most heinous of crimes. The ordinary Roman citizen was exempted from it by law. It sometimes began, as it did with Christ, by a cruel scourging. The back of the victim was ripped open and ploughed into furrows of flesh and blood. And then, when his body was lacerated, he was compelled to bear the cross to the place of execution. The place of execution was always outside the walls of the town. At Jerusalem, it was a piece of ground called Golgotha, the place of the skull, the name being derived from the skull-shaped hill crag that was there. The cross consisted of an upright post or stake. The condemned man was divested of his clothing and usually presented with a cup of wine, sometimes medicated with a view to dull the senses and alleviate the pain. This Jesus refused, choosing rather to endure with a clear and perfect consciousness all that was laid upon him. The hands of the victim were nailed above his head. The feet were usually nailed separately, but sometimes one long spike was driven through both feet. And then the cross was lifted up and dropped into the socket that had been provided. Every nerve, every muscle, every tendon stretched to capacity. The pain was dreadful. The suffering was horrific. It was the worst punishment imaginable. And this is the punishment inflicted upon God's Son. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And I want you to get a hold of the sufferings of Christ. I want you to see the pierced head of the Savior. I want you to view his lacerated back. I want you to behold his hands and his feet and gaze upon his bleeding side and think of his sufferings, his agony, his pain, his wounds, and understand it was for you, the physical sufferings of Christ. But there was much more than that when we think of the pain that he endured. We think of the mental sufferings of the Savior. There is a pain that often proves deeper and more severe than pain of the body. And it's pain of the mind. The hurt, the bitterness, the injury, the torment endured because of hatred and persecution and verbal abuse and assault. How cutting that can be. And Jesus Christ, let's remember, he possessed a human nature. He knew what it was to feel inward pain, to be injured in the mind. Think of how he must have felt when he was betrayed by Judas, one of the 12. When he was denied by Peter with oaths and cursings, "I know not the man." Think of how he must have felt when he was forsaken by all the disciples. When he was belittled by Herod. When he was abused by the soldiers as they spat into his face. And then he was mocked by the Jews and ridiculed by the crowd. And all... how he must have felt when he was forsaken by the Father. Who could possibly imagine or explain the depths of agony felt in the very soul of Christ at that moment when he cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Yes, the mental sufferings of our dear Savior. And then, of course, there were his eternal sufferings. Sufferings that we cannot possibly imagine. Sufferings that were spiritual and eternal. There was the unseen hand that went out against Christ at the cross when he was smitten of God and afflicted. In the darkness of that hour, who can comprehend the intensity of agony when my sin, your sin, our sins were laid upon him who his own self bare our sins in his own body at the tree? I confess I'm at a loss. I can't explain it. I cannot conceive what is happening. I cannot fathom the pain. I cannot imagine the misery. I cannot grasp the depths of agony. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that our Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that were lost. Now Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. The eternal pains of hell seized him, and all that was due the sinner for eternity was brought to bear upon the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment upon the cross. The unseen hand of the Almighty touched his beloved Son. The plan of the cross, the pain of the cross. But then we think of the people at the cross. Standing beneath and gathered around the cross that day were a variety of people, and they all reacted differently. They represent people in all ages, and you have a reaction. As you listen to the message of the cross, as the sufferings of Christ are set before you, you respond in your heart to what you hear. There was a little group of believers who stood near the cross that day. John tells us about them in John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And the next two verses tells us about the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was there too. We believe that to be the beloved John himself. Peter was a witness, albeit from a distance. We're not told in the Gospels that Peter was there, but when he wrote his first epistle, he speaks about being a witness of the sufferings of Christ. These Christians could hear the dripping of his blood. They saw it trickle down his brow from the thorn wounds. They saw it run down his naked side and drip off his toes. They saw it seep from the lacerated back. They saw it oozing from the spikes through his hands and his feet. They saw that blood gush in a sacrificial fountain when the spear was thrust into his side. And how were they affected? Their hearts were filled with sadness. Their souls were heavy. Their eyes were tear-stained. How they loved him. How they felt for him. And Christians here can understand how they must have felt. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. Was the hymn of Fanny Crosby all those years ago. And this is where the believer ought to desire to be. Do you know Newton's experience when he said, I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and love who fixed his loving eyes on me as neath the cross I stood. I'm sure, dear child of God, you've been there. And then some beneath the cross that day were indifferent. It meant nothing to them. Like the soldier, certainly at the start of the story. It was just a job to them. They didn't care that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. Yes, they heard his sighs and his groans. They saw the agony in his face when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They saw his lips feverish and parched when he begged for water and was given vinegar and gall instead. They were near the cross when Jesus died, but it meant little to them. And there's many like that today. You speak to them about the cross, and the cross means very little. And then there were others, and they were filled with hatred, resentment, and rejection. The Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, and many of the Jews. How did they react? With scorn, and ridicule, and blasphemy. It was read for us earlier in this passage of Scripture. They too stood in full view of the sufferings of Christ. They gazed upon his battered, bleeding, broken body. They listened to the words of grace and mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They saw the barbaric, cruel treatment, but it made no impression upon their hard hearts. And sadly, there are some, and they fit this description today. Thank God some were moved, and some repented. The dying thief, there beside the Savior, he cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That poor sinner saw and heard all that took place. The Savior, dying in agony and love, affected him. The cross touched him, and he cried out for mercy. And praise God, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. I wonder, where do you fit in? What impression does the cross of Christ have upon you? How do you react at such a sight? What does it mean to you? You have been brought face to face with Christ crucified, and you've got feelings in your heart right now. You are reacting inwardly. I wonder, do you meet the Savior with indifference? Do you meet him with resentment in your heart? Or is it in thankfulness and in love? Either as a child of God, because the cross has touched your life and you know something of the saving grace that has been brought to you through the great work of redemption and salvation that Christ procured there. Or maybe as someone who as yet knows not Christ the Savior. Oh, that a sight of the crucified Savior would draw you today, draw you irresistibly to Christ, that you might come and have your sins forgiven and your sins washed away in the precious blood. Let's bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, in the worthy and the precious name of the Savior, we thank thee for these things that we've heard, because we have been led to the cross and to think about the one who bore our sin in his own body at the tree. We praise thee today for all that Jesus Christ accomplished when he came into this world. We thank thee that he lived for us and he died for us. We pray that even this day, sinners will be drawn to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.